The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 2 Podcast.
Second hour begins, and we look forward to saying hello to Brad Crawford. And Brad, thank you as always for the time. A deep dive into the best quarterbacks into the SEC. We've been talking to about some who aren't that great. So good afternoon, and tell us who is.
Hey, Paul, thanks for having me today, man. Yeah, I slotted KJ Jefferson in my top spot coming out of spring practice because he's one of the more seasoned and efficient signal callers nationally. You know, I don't expect this Arkansas offense to change all that much under Dan Enos, despite losing Kendall Briles. Even with a handful of new wideouts, Jefferson should be solid, along with LSU's Jaden Daniels. Those are two guys right now that I'm pretty comfortable going to war with against some of college football's elite teams.
We were really surprised the other day in talking to Brian Kelly. I asked about his quarterback room, and he said, we have two starting quarterbacks. How deep do you think it goes there with Nussmeier backing him up?
It wouldn't surprise me if Garrett Nussmeier may look elsewhere. Maybe after this season, you know, there's a few elite teams right now, namely Alabama, that need a quarterback. Unfortunately, the SEC transfer rules post February 1st prohibit that. I know Crimson Tide fans would love to see Nussmeier there in Tuscaloosa, but I mean, Brian Kelly's right. He has two solid quarterbacks, Jaden Daniels, obviously, winning the SEC West last season. Nussmeier had a 300-yard game against Georgia, backing him up in the SEC championship game. No team in college football right now is as deep in that quarterback room with two solid signal callers like LSU has.
I understand your grade of Carson Beck. However, I still have friends around the league who are texting me going, I don't know about this Georgia quarterback situation. We know what he did in the game. He looked great. But what overall, do you feel comfortable, and I think you do, with Carson Beck?
I think he's the real deal. I've already put him in that elite tier despite not having a start yet. He went 18-22 in that spring game, as you mentioned, Paul. He looks like that prototypical pro-style offense facilitator guy that Mike Bobo just loves. And Carson Beck said after the spring game that him and Bobo quickly got on the same page. So that's great news for Georgia. This is going to be the first season, Paul, in a couple of years. I think this Bulldogs offense is actually ahead of Kirby Smart's defense as we go into September a few months from now. So I think it's going to outperform the defense. Georgia's schedule's a cakewalk. And Carson Beck, I think right now those Heisman odds are around plus 2,000. Yeah, I would put a flyer on Carson Beck as a finalist in New York.
I didn't mean to go jaw drop there.
Speechless,
but
huh?
That's a major statement there. That's really. And by the way, I'm sure Georgia fans are hearing that and going, good. They had a Heisman finalist last year that nobody saw coming. So let me flip to a school that should have had a Heisman finalist. They didn't, and that's Tennessee. What about Joe Milton?
Yeah, he's part of that second-tier quarterback group that, along with Spencer Rattler, Will Rogers, Mississippi State, I think those three guys are kind of interchangeable. You know, Joe Milton, he's sort of an enigma at Tennessee. You know, we know he has a rocket arm. He should facilitate that Vols offense without issue. But he did lose Jalen Hyatt, the 5-touchdown guy against Bama last season, and Cedric Tillman's no longer there on that outside. I know Tennessee staff likes Squirrel White a lot, but is he the kind of receiver that could go 70 catches, you know, 1,000 yards plus that Tennessee needs? I don't know. So I like Joe Milton, Spencer Rattler, and Will Rogers kind of in that second tier group.
We're talking about Brad Crawford's top quarterback list. I want to get off the top shelf for just a second because there's been so much obsession today and will be on Alabama's room. There was not anything good to take away from the spring game from a QB position. What do you make out of what they have, and do you think Nick Saban will go shopping this week?
He certainly could. A lot of guys who he may shop for are not yet in the portal, so that's something to watch. I think he just wants more consistency from under center. He said that several times during the spring after the first two scrimmages, said it Saturday after A-Day. You know, I thought Jalen Milroe looked unsure of himself at times against pressure. He did have that nice deep ball to the corner of the end zone for that touchdown pass, had that long touchdown run where he kind of got loose around that left edge. But it's late in the game, Paul, and I'm not sure Bama can take a quarterback right now unless, like you said, there's a big name that is willing to jump in that NIL. I did write a speculative piece today. I know Bama fans hate to hear that, but on possible quarterback options for the Tide. You know, Ben Bryant, last year's starter at Cincinnati, he entered the portal over the weekend. I know he might not be an SEC-ready guy, but might be a better option right now because he has game experience. Drake May's the big guy at UNC. He said back in December when there was that rumored report of, you know, $5 million being lofted his way by an SEC school. We don't know who that was. Drake May staying put for now, but he would be a guy that if he became available, that would put Alabama as maybe the sixth or fifth best team in the country, perhaps over Georgia as number one.
I want to ask you about Drake May before we get to a few more, because he's a guy that committed to Alabama years ago, stayed where he's from and his family. He's done well. I don't want to ask such a naive question like what could possibly lead him elsewhere, but because it's pretty obvious, we know what it is. But it just would feel so weird right now, wouldn't it? I mean, we've had some guys move, but this would, for Nick Saban to literally back a Brinks truck up to somebody's house, this just doesn't sound right.
This would blow the door wide open on, you know, what we know is college football free agency. We've already seen that happen at some schools, but I mean, this would be the one that is the headline grabber, Paul. It would lead off-season summer storylines. I mean, imagine Alabama quarterback Drake May coming to SEC Media Days here in a few months. That would be wild. And if I'm Drake May and that opportunity is on the table, I'm looking at, you know, I just lost my air raid coordinator in Phil Longo to Wisconsin. My numbers may go down as a junior. I'm still trying to solidify that number one pick in the 2024 NFL draft. So Drake May has some options right here, right now. But in December and January, he reiterated the point that he's a Chapel Hill lifer, and I think he's going to be a three and out guy at UNC.
Before you go, the Texas A&M quarterback situation, it feels a lot different than a year ago when it was Haynes King by unanimous consent. What about the situation with Connor Wegman?
Yeah, I think it's Wegman, the rising sophomore there. Obviously, he got some bench splinters early in September last year and then got some quality reps, you know, down the stretch. And Texas A&M, horrible season last year, 5 wins, 5-7, just tumultuous campaign, did beat LSU in that finale. And Wegman's a guy that comes to College Station with, you know, five-star talent. And Jimbo Fisher knows this season he can't afford another 5-win season. So quarterback play has to be elite. And I think they have a pretty good backfield that's going to help out as well.
Brad Crawford, always a fantastic guest, this time even better than usual. And that's saying a great deal. Hey, thank you very much. You be well.
Thanks,
you take care of yourself, Brad. Thank you. And we head to the break. A lot has been happening so far on the program. We will get back to your phone calls right after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jets Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jets is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jets' signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jets Pizza. Better because it has to be. Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand-name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
A lot of conversation. You just heard Jordan Rodgers during that break. A very interesting view. Jordan was at the game Saturday. He said Alabama can win the national championship with either quarterback, Milroe or Ty Simpson. He liked it. He liked him. He liked everything he saw about the new look of Alabama offense. Dwayne is up next from Louisiana.
That's bull crap. You know damn well that's bull crap. Paul Feinbaum. Brad Crawford just told you what Alabama working with. They got nothing over there. Hey, Texas.
So you're going to believe Brad Crawford over the guy who did the game, Jordan Rodgers?
I'm worried about that Brad Crawford. Brad Crawford told you don't have nothing over there. You already told who the best is coming out there. Hey, Alabama fans, Paul Feinbaum said not too long ago, y'all going to lose three games. Y'all going 9-3. Y'all need to get on Paul Feinbaum. Paul Feinbaum said on this show, y'all go 9-3. Hey, Paul Feinbaum, people going to load the box up against Alabama. They're going to load the box up and going to make them pass that ball. Going to pick them off.
Now, it seems like you're doing a little bit of wishful thinking here, Dwayne.
Man, did you know that's going to happen? Hey, Texas is going to load up. Texas is going to stop the run and make them force to pass the ball. Everybody knows that. We're going to see what they're making with. Hey, we're going to see what they're working with now. Yeah, they got no quarterbacks over there. And just like Lane Kiffin said a couple weeks ago, Nick Saban's going to be tampering. He's going to be tampering, trying to find a quarterback. He's going to be tampering. He might come tampering one up quarterback. Yeah, Nick Saban, yeah, that man just told you, if he get that backup quarterback from LSU, he got a better chance of winning that championship.
Okay. Well, thank you. You got more?
What you say about that, huh? Say Paul Feinbaum.
You got anything to say about that?
No.
Paul Feinbaum. Say Paul Feinbaum. They're going to load the box up against Alabama, make a force and throw the ball, like you said in 2011. That one hurt LSU when they had Jefferson. They couldn't pass the ball. Y'all can't pass the ball no more. Huh?
Yeah, thank you, Dwayne. Thank you for adding that. That was good stuff. Ken is up next. Hello, Ken.
Hey, Paul, thanks for taking my call.
Thank you.
Hey, listen, Paul, first, I'd like to make a couple comments, if you don't mind. You know, this should be called the Alabama Show. I mean, we don't talk about nothing but Alabama. We don't talk about anything else. And you made it that way, of course. But I want to make a comment, Paul. You know, and by the way, let me say this. My condolences out to Larry, and I hope he gets better. And the second thing was, you know, Jim reminds me of the people in my life I knew. And you know what that was like, Paul? They had a Superman mouth with a Mickey Mouse ass. That's what Jim reminds me of. He absolutely is one of them type people. But anyway, getting on from there, about 6 years ago, you was at an SEC conference, Nick Saban put you in your place. Well, you ain't been nothing like you was since then. Do you remember that?
That was in 2015.
That's correct. Now, do you remember what it was about?
Yeah, I sure do. I asked him why he was not suspending two players who had been caught in Louisiana with guns and, I believe, weed in their car.
That's correct. And what did he say?
Well, he was quite irate when he tried to answer it, and then I interrupted him twice, and he blew up and told me to shut up.
Well, the fact of the matter is, he's a coach, Paul. He's a coach, and what he does.
I was sitting there on live television. I was acutely aware of who he was.
Well, my point being this, Paul, you took it wrong. You took it wrong. I mean, you.
Ken, do you have any idea how many times I've seen him and talked to him since then?
Oh, I'm sure a million times, Paul. I'm sure. I mean, that's your field. That's what you do.
Well, my point was it was not that important. He called me afterwards and apologized. The way he reacted or overreacted, I said, fine, let's move on. It wasn't a big deal.
But Paul, have you not? Enter inside yourself. Have you not kind of resented that since then?
Of course not. Why would I resent interrupting him twice on national television. That's what I did.
I knew what I was doing.
And his wife told me this much later. I saw her at a restaurant. She said, "You knew what you were doing, and Nick knew what he was doing, and you both benefited from it." It's as simple as that. I showed that I'm not, unlike everybody else in the media, I'm not afraid of Nick Saban, and Nick Saban stood up for his players, which was the whole purpose of what he was trying to say that day, Ken. He was standing up for his players in regard to, even though the law may find you in trouble, if I investigate it and find out it's really the law's at fault, I will stand up for you. And that's what, after the interview, that's what he said. Now, you didn't see that on television, and very few people heard it, but he was attacking the Louisiana law for persecuting his players, not the other way around.
I can appreciate that, Paul, and I really do. I appreciate your clarifying that. And with that, let me make this one thing clear. You do not have the all is, God is, all is on whether who will win or not this year. And please, don't take it personally, but I'm telling you now, Alabama will be in the playoffs.
And Ken, I'm not taking it personally, no, because that would be fine with me. But explain to me how you know this.
Well, it's, Paul, now nobody wants to listen because everybody wants to be on the mountain. We understand that. And by the way, the scrimmage game is a scrimmage game. If you think you really know the Alabama football team by watching what we watched Saturday, and by the way, I didn't see it that bad as some people did.
Well, Ken, I know that you saw it the way you saw it because you're a very objective, reasonable Alabama fan based on our most recent conversation here for 5 minutes. Will is up next in North Carolina. Hello, Will.
What's going on, Paul? I mean, Dwayne is a real raging Cajun, you know? I mean, all the time, just he goes 100 just yelling for LSU. He is a true raging Cajun. Paul, over the weekend, had a little free time on Saturday afternoon and was watching the Colorado spring game, and I couldn't tell if that was a Deion on the field or Marshall Matt Dillon out there with that white Stetson hat on.
I'm not sure what a great recruiting tool that was. That on April 21st, it was still snowing in Boulder, but spring comes there eventually.
He's all in, man. I mean, he's rocking the cowboy hat. I thought he could probably get it turned around within a year, but after watching that, I have my doubts. Like, I think it might be the 2 to 3 year period.
Well, about half his team is in the portal, and I'm sure that was.
Right.
He said, "You guys are out of here." I don't know. I don't know how you win at a high level in that conference with a bad roster, and they have a terrible roster. Thank you for the call. Appreciate it. Samuel is in Kansas. You're on the air. Hello, Samuel.
Hello, Paul. It's Sam.
Sam.
How are you doing today, sir?
We're doing great. Thank you.
So I have a question. My question is, when Alabama played Utah in 2009, was Kirby Smart on that team?
Kirby Smart was a defensive coordinator, yes.
So my question is, that has to do with, I have a new stat I'm going to say. It's called strength of ranking. And that regards to, since the BCS, are you a bigger fan of the BCS or the college football playoff in your mind?
Well, I like the playoff more because it broadens the field. The BCS served a purpose, but it was only one game. The fact that we have two, a semifinal one more year, and then next year to me is better. Anytime you can include more people is better.
I like the CFP better. I would say that if the BCS would have just added, all the BCS had to do in my mind was add the same teams as the playoffs in terms of adding another seed.
I agree.
In my opinion, we don't need
I frankly did not think the BCS formula was that bad. To me, the CFP is is a little more convoluted because you're depending on the whims. And I don't think we get I think we get a lot of group thinking in the CFP. Thanks for the call. Dane is up next in Birmingham. Hello, Dane.
Uncle Paul, how you doing?
Very well, thank you.
Well, you know, I saw Alabama lose two to Auburn this past weekend out on the softball diamond there.
Oh, really?
I was wondering if you watched yourself.
I did not see it, no.
Well, it was first time in about 5 years Bama's dropped a series, and it's pretty sad to see that we're still not getting very serious about winning a championship in softball. I wasn't very happy to see Auburn's coach wearing an Indiana Jones hat taking two out of three from Patrick Murphy. But, I mean, what's new with this program?
Well, is it still not one of the best programs in the country?
It is, but with Oklahoma coming to the SEC, they're obviously doomed. I mean, this year's looking to be like it's like we've seen the last couple of years, UCLA and Oklahoma, top two teams in the country. And with Gasso coming to the SEC, your boy Pat's in pretty big trouble. But I was going to see what you were thinking going into June, July here, Oklahoma City coming down to the wire, who was going to win it all.
Yeah, well, I'm gonna. Jane, you are our women's softball expert. The tournament, of course, is 2 weeks away, and then the playoffs begin. And Dane can continue to rail on Patrick Murphy, who's a legendary and a Hall of Fame coach. We'll take a short break, and we are coming right back.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Swimsuit, check. Sunscreen, check. Phone charger, check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
And welcome back as we continue on. Augie in New Orleans is up next. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Paul. Paul, it looks like you might have to call that cardiologist again, huh?
Yeah, it does look that way. That's sad to say.
Well, I hope Larry's doing okay. You know, last time he was in the hospital, he was listening to your show, and he was telling the nurses, you know, that's my show. And hopefully he's got either, you know, the SEC network or he's listening to the radio, because can you imagine Larry in the hospital not being able to keep up with the show? It must be driving him crazy more in his heart condition, I would think. But
yeah, I would think by now, because Larry's been in this hospital, he would have made sure that, you know, hospitals do not have the best cable outlets. And we've had a few that have demanded us to be on their system when they've gone in for long periods of time.
Well, I got Hulu, and I tell you, today it is not syncing up with your show. It's terrible. So, not an endorsement for Hulu as of today.
That's one of our companies that our parent company owns.
Yeah. Well, they were messing up. Maybe it's a local connection. Okay, but still. You know, Friday I was going to call in, Paul, and rant about LSU baseball because they got beat by the former USL. Remember, they were the University of Southwest Louisiana before they came to Louisiana Lafayette?
Yeah.
So LSU gets beat by him midweek baseball, and I was going to rip into him, but I think it was the end of the show, or the end of the segment.
Augie, do you realize how little some coaches care about the midweek games?
Yeah, but when you're the number one team in the nation with supposedly the best collection of athletes that ever existed, you don't get beat by USL or now Louisiana Lafayette. But they did sweep Ole Miss this weekend, so all sins are forgiven. Before, I believe it, last week or the week before, you had BK on, and he was talking about the team. BK is still groaning about his offensive line. Now,
the portal has changed everything. You would agree, right?
Sure.
I mean, you could instantly come up with a team. These days, in the past, you would say, well, you got to give a coach 4 years. You can't expect miracles overnight. But do you not think that you now can expect miracles overnight? And the point being, should DK be worrying about his offensive line when there are all these offensive linemen in the portal, supposedly? That's the question.
You may not be able to win a championship in the portal, but you can become competitive quickly.
Well, my question is, how long is he going to keep going on about his offensive line when he can probably get a couple of guys? I don't think he needs like 5 or 6, maybe 2 or 3. But, I mean, you would think after last year, this problem would be not as significant.
Oh, yeah, I hate to be so predictable here, but don't you think he knows that that's possible by going into the portal? Maybe he doesn't like what's in the portal.
Well, that's the other question, is we're talking about offensive linemen, and I'm not saying they're like, they're not valuable. I mean, they're not like skilled quarterbacks, where the quarterback is definitely the make or break position on a team. But wouldn't just a good enough offensive lineman with a good quarterback be enough?
I mean, in theory, yes, but I'm going to sound like I'm a big fan of Brian Kelly, which I am, but I just think he has a much better handle on it than some guy sitting in a dark television studio in the middle of nowhere.
I mean, hey, look, I think Brian Kelly's a great hire. He did a great job last year, but
Augie, if I could do a little bit of an analysis here, you wanted a regime change at LSU because you lost a Friday game to Arkansas a few weeks ago. They ended up winning the series. You wanted change a couple of days ago because they lost a midweek game. They swept the series. Now you're not so sure about Brian Kelly
going
to Atlanta's first year.
I am not saying that at all.
I'd hate to be your subordinate, Augie. That's all I have to say. Have a bet. I show up 5 minutes late because there's a tractor trailer wreck and shuts down the internet, and you say, "Hate to break it to you, you're gone." I told you never to be late.
I do not want regime change at LSU, neither in the baseball program. I just wanted Johnson to give him an enema when maybe he did, and for BK to get some offensive linemen so we don't hear the same problem all over and over again.
Yeah.
And I love BK. That's all I got to say for today. Thanks, Paul.
Take it, yeah. And if you're an employee of Augie, I would suggest call the temporary agency because you may not be around if he's in a bad mood. Let's talk to Expired, who is up next. Hey, Expired.
Hey, Paul. How you doing?
We are well. Thank you.
That's great. I'm really down and out because I really don't know where to start with some of the stuff I've heard today. We had the first clown called and talked about A.J. McCarron being a game manager and these two quarterbacks. Let me tell you something, Paul. Alabama fans, you're stuck with what you got, because if you get a portal quarterback, and especially a good portal quarterback, Nick Saban and all of you guys are the biggest hypocrites in the world. Let me tell you, you call Jimbo a hypocrite for having the greatest recruiting class of all time.
Right.
I mean, not a hypocrite. And
no, Expired. I think you're 100% correct. And I asked Rodak that because everything that Saban blistered Jimbo for may be his ticket to salvation this year.
It might be his only ticket, Paul. And if that happens, you're going to get tired of me calling the show, talking trash to the hypocritical coach, Mr. Saban. And then we heard about the storming of the field. And there's danger and all this stuff and all this mess. But you know what? The greatest thing I ever seen last year was when Tennessee stormed the field, Paul, and threw that goalpost in that river.
No, I agree with you, and I'll let the commissioner – I'll leave it up to him to figure this out. But I thought the scene in Knoxville was one of the five most iconic I have seen in college football modern history.
And if they beat A&M this year, and I know we're not supposed to be very good, or maybe we are, we don't know what we are, and they want to go throw that – when I'm up there and they want to go throw that goalpost in that river, I'm going to help them. I'm going to help him because that's going to be a hell of a time. You know what I mean, Paul? And the last thing I'm going to say is this clown you had on a while ago, talking about the top quarterbacks in SEC. I guess he didn't watch the last four or five games with Connor Wigman. He damn sure didn't watch the LSU game. And Dwayne could even tell you how Connor Wigman dominated those Swamp Kitties. So I'm telling you right now, anybody, if you want to talk football and quarterbacks of the SEC, it should start with KJ Jefferson, and then it should go to Connor Wigman after it, and Carson Beck or whatever that dude's name is. He ain't done nothing yet. He played in the spring game. So how do we know what he can do? Connor Wegman went against LSU last year on Thanksgiving, the day after Thanksgiving, and played lights out. Paul, you have a great day. I'm just really shaking right now because I don't know how to process all this mess I've been listening to today. But, hey, when it comes out of your mouth, it's golden. Love you guys. See ya.
Thank you, Spire. Good call there. A lot of issues today to deal with. Terry is up next. Hello, Terry.
Hey, Paul, thanks for taking my call.
Thank you.
Hey, I just wanted to call and talk a little bit about this QB drama that you got going on here. I'll tell you, the guys in Knoxville, Joe Milton, I mean, Hendon Hooker coming out of there. I mean, you just take a look at how he played at Virginia Tech versus how he played at Tennessee. You know, a lot of people knock the system, as they call it, at Tennessee. But here's a surprise for all these people that are knocking the system here, Paul. Every QB in America plays in some sort of a system.
Sure.
Every QB in America plays in some sort of a system. But if Joe Milton can get his touch under control, I think that we have the best quarterback in America sitting right there in Knoxville. I mean, the guy has all the physical tools in the world. He seems to be a great teammate. All the guys rally around him. I mean, even as a backup, guys were rallying around him. So I think that Joe Milton's got a good shot at being the best quarterback in the SEC. As long as he gets that touch under control, I think he could be the guy.
That's a great thing. I've heard four different quarterbacks already touted, maybe five today, as the best quarterback in the SEC. That's why we're here. We will take a break. More of your phone calls. Bruce Feldman later on. We've had a busy roster list already in terms of guests, and we're not done yet.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
John is up next in Louisville. Hey, John.
Hey, it's great to have you on TV today. You know, with Tucker gone, Don Lemon gone, Disney laying off 4,000 employees this week, I just had to tune in and make sure you were still in your seat.
It was a relief to be able to be here and say hello to everyone. So we continue to try to do this every day.
And keep your fingers crossed, I know. Hey, Barry Trammell was very interesting last week. I've sold my stock in Oklahoma after that interview. What do you think?
Yeah, I don't know whether Barry is just still – I mean, he's been sour from the beginning, but ever since Lincoln Riley left, he has not been happy about this move to the SEC.
He's bitter. And by the way, Brad Crawford, great analysis and a nice backdrop behind him. I thought he had the –
What was that around his neck?
I was looking at the shelves. I didn't catch the neck.
Okay.
I wanted to talk to you about, and by the way, the Mean Girls were really good, entertaining in the first segment.
I wanted
to talk to you about the Wunderlich test versus the more modern S2 cognition test. As you know, the Wunderlich test, it tests the decision-making and problem-solving, why the S2 cognition test is test your split-second information processing and decision-making ability. And this may be how the quarterbacks are being evaluated now. Bryce Young scored 98 out of 99. Will Levitt's 92. C.J. Stroud, 18. Well, that's Ohio
goodness.
State, of
That's
course.
Not good.
Yeah, Anthony Richardson, 79. And just to look back, Joe Burrow was a 97, Brock Purdy a 95. The average starting quarterback in the NFL is, I think it's a 91. So that could be telling us why C.J. Stroud's dropping like a rock.
Yeah, he when the Panthers trade was announced, most people thought he was the choice. And that was a month ago, 5 weeks ago, and since then he has gone completely off the charts.
Hey, by the way, I've got some good news for you. I saw that Jameson Williams was suspended for 6 games in the NFL for gambling. That's not the good news, but it got me interested in John Mechie, and apparently he's cancer-free and he's practicing with the team.
Yeah, no, that's a great story. Hey, thank you very much. Dan is up next. Hey, Dan.
Thanks, Paul. Paul, just want to shout out to Larry. I'm sorry he's going through all that, but he's a fighter, and if anybody can overcome this, he can. And I have a lot of respect for Larry because he is a fighter. Paul, you know, everybody's talking about, you know, the Alabama quarterback and the quarterbacks and this and that and the other. But, I mean, isn't it obvious that LSU has the best the best quarterbacks in the league?
Well, I think it looks obvious. I mean, they have a good room, and that's from the head coach on down. Hey, thank you, Dan. Appreciate your insight. Papa Dub is up next.
Hey, Dub. Paul. How's it going, man?
Dub, we are great. Thank you.
Yeah, I got cut off on Friday. I had to go get my wings, and I did get to the subject that I wanted to talk to you. I was hoping to get to you for the spring game on Saturday, but, you know, it's oddly that, you know, we had talked earlier about the Auburn head coaching job, and you brought it to my attention to who would have been better, Hugh Freeze or Deion. And here it is. Deion got on national television, ESPN, for his spring game and booted Alabama to the curb. What's up with that?
Well, that is true. But Deion is the biggest name right now in the sport, for now.
Well, do you think if he'd been at Auburn, wouldn't Auburn have done the same thing? They got that recognition?
I sure do. I think if Auburn had hired Deion, Auburn's game would have been the featured game. But Auburn could have gotten a lot out of Deion, but the question is, would they be in better shape today? And I don't think the answer is yes. I think they made a better move getting Hugh Freeze, who I think will build back that program as opposed to try to win the time slot.
Well, the thing I've been trying to call into you, and I actually did some research over the weekend to find out about it, but the Texas and Oklahoma come into the SEC the same year, and Alabama's playing Texas. Couldn't the SEC come up with something to why Georgia wouldn't have to cancel the Oklahoma game? It just doesn't make sense.
Yeah, it was a two-year deal, but since it was a non-conference game, and since Georgia and Oklahoma would not have been playing each other every year, it would have been pretty awkward to there's no way you could make up for it.
Right. I just think it gives kind of Georgia a black eye just because they had to cancel that
well,
game.
I think it's absurd that Georgia's getting blistered. They had a great game on the board, but yeah, so while that's going on, Alabama completes a two-game set with Texas. Now, but the reason is they get them both in, where Georgia would have only had one of the games in, and then the other game would have never been made. I mean, I guess the two – I really don't know exactly how that went down, but it's a really interesting question. Hey, thanks for the call. Chaplain Mac is up next. Hey, Mac.
Hi, bro, Paul. How you doing?
Very well. Thank you.
Good. I was just calling to check on Larry. I just – checked in and saw it a while ago. Y'all were talking about Larry, and one of you guys told me he had a heart attack.
That's according to Squirrel. He apparently is in the hospital again. Larry told us a few weeks ago he's had 8 or 9 heart attacks. Now, again, I'm not a cardiologist. I don't know much about the subject.
Yeah.
Well, I know a little bit, but I don't know enough to tell you to the severity. I mean, you can have a very mild heart attack.
Right. Right, right. I know. I was
I've
EMT
had,
one
I've had
two.
Several during this show before.
That's, oh, my God. I imagine some of the stuff you've heard, brother. I just wanted to check in on that. I'll be praying for him. You tell him I will.
And we will.
y'all need anything, anytime, any prayer, anything, I'll always be watching.
Mac, we appreciate that. Thank you, Chaplain Mac, calling in. And we are hoping to update the Larry situation. Apparently, he's okay. He's in the hospital. You know, Larry's, I mean, when we talk to him, you can tell he has a couple of issues. And there's definitely something going on there, but we hope he gets over it. We'll be back. 2 more hours to go right after this.